available.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
We have Nick Redfern. We can't forget him because he's the author of Keep Out, his latest work.
Wait a minute. Ho, ho, ho. Whose girlfriend are you talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about, but we'll get into that maybe later on. I'll tell you what, we've got just a few segments left and so many places to visit. We've got to go away from Area 51. We've got to go away from Down Under and Dulcie and the London Underground. What about Hangar 18? What, pray tell, is Hangar 18 other than a rather bad science fiction movie?
Well, Hangar 18 is sort of this catch-all term that's been sort of created or put in place to describe a variety of sort of hangars and underground facilities at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. Now, there actually isn't, you know, you can't sort of go to the base fence and see this huge hangar with a big number 18 painted on it, and, you know, which you're denied access to. There is no literal Hangar 18 at the base. But it, as I said, it's more of a term designed to explain some sort of like underground facility, chambers, etc., where people have said they've seen alien bodies in cryogenic storage. Interestingly enough, although there are a few stories of sort of crashed UFOs being seen at Wright-Patterson, most of the stories are of the bodies. Somebody's shown at, given access to this underground place, and there are these sort of missile-like containers containing these small bodies, and, you know, somebody gets a briefing on them, etc., etc. And, again, you know, it's an intriguing story. It's sort of like a proto-Area 51 in the sense that these stories go back to the latter part of the 1940s. And, you know, what's interesting about Wright-Patterson, it does have a verifiable UFO link. For example, the Air Force's UFO program, Sign, Grudge, and Blue Book, they were all operated out of Wright-Patterson. Wright-Patterson was also home to the Foreign Technology Division of the Air Force, which has also been linked with UFOs over the years, and also a UFO-related classified program called Project Moondust, which is also allied to Wright-Patterson. So in that sense, you know, we can prove that there was a UFO link to the base. What we've not been able to prove so far, but we have a lot of interesting stories, are the Hangar 18 tales. Now, one of the people who spoke out about this publicly and vocally, and who the skeptics, you know, they have a hard time, fortunately, in, you know, kind of knocking the guy down, was Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater was a major general in the Air Force, a senator for Arizona, the Republican Party's nominee for president in 64, and also the chairman of the U.S. government Senate Intelligence Committee. Now, Goldwater was fully aware of all these stories and rumors about dead aliens stored under Wright-Patterson in some sort of sealed, well-guarded chamber, if you like. One of the people he sort of came across during the course of his government and military work, and who he became actually good friends with, was General Curtis LeMay. On one particular occasion in the early 60s, Goldwater said to LeMay, being a friend of his, you know, I've heard all these stories about these bodies and everything else under Wright-Patterson. You know, can you get me in there? Can I see it? And LeMay basically blew his top and said, not only no, but hell no, and don't ever ask me again. You know, if that had come from sort of a Mr. X-type character, Deep Throat, well, it's an interesting story, but there's nothing we can do with it. But when it comes from, you know, somebody like Goldwater, who has a verifiable, you know, who's a background, who's a major player in the U.S. government in the 20th century, you know, you have to question why someone would make something like that up. And I don't believe he did make it up. I think, you know, there really probably is or was some sort of chamber below the base. You know, what it contained, that's the bigger issue. That's the bigger question. But when you've got somebody like Goldwater by default endorsing the reality of this situation, you know, then we have to, I think, the onus is on us to dig further, literally dig.
Well, we don't have anybody like a Goldwater anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, but then again, who's to say that other people won't come forward, you know, one day who were exposed to something? I think that's what the UFO field needs, you know. We've got plenty of researchers. We haven't got somebody, you know, a really credible person on the inside who, you know, comes forward and says, hey, you know, I was briefed on this.
Well, you see, we have people like, for example, when Dennis Kucinich, the Ohio congressman, mentions anything about UFOs, his presidential ambitions are shot down.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, that's it. I mean, he's the godson of Shirley MacLaine. For heaven's sake, he's got to be a lunatic.
Well, this is the thing with the UFO subject, is that although, as I said, there's no doubt in my mind it's a real phenomenon, the big problem is it has a massive ridicule factor attached to it, you know, and it's kind of almost like the kiss of death. Just because a phenomenon's real doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't provoke hysterical laughter. It does. You know, it's the line between the two is so close as well.
And it also makes it more difficult to gain credibility. People are just laughing up their sleeves. Yeah. They don't take it as entertainment. UFOs. Oh, cool. ET's coming down. You know, as long as you present that, it's not going to be taken seriously, because the truth may at this point just be nuts and bolts until you have some real interaction, if there is any.
Well, yeah, the big problem, as I see it, is that, you know, for most people in the general public, it's entertainment. And I understand that, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to sound elitist or anything like that. Most people who occasionally watch, you know, a UFO documentary, they want entertaining, and that's fine. And if it brings the subject to more people's attention, well, that's good too. But people, for the most part, they want the entertainment as much as they want the information. You know, most people watching a documentary don't want to hear about the government using the UFO program or the subject to hide classified military programs. You know, this is also getting really too deep. They want to hear about abductions and Roswell and things like that. But equally, you know, I think part of the problem has been, is down to the UFO research community. You know, we haven't handled things as well as we could have. You know, we get a lot of sensationalist claims out there. We get a lot of people jumping up and shouting loudly about this or that. And a lot of it is to sort of perpetuate the field. I don't care what people say, it is. You know, let's sensationalize stuff because it's going to bring people into the conferences. It's going to sell books and magazines, etc. Well, you know, well, don't do that. Try just that taking a rational, down-to-earth, unbiased approach. Maybe, okay, it's not as sexy, it's not as, you know, exciting, but maybe we'll have a better chance of actually solving things and not just keep waffling on for 64 years after Kenneth Arnold saw whatever it was he saw. So.
Yeah, and I agree, Nick, and unfortunately, you know, just professing an interest in these subjects for many years guaranteed you some strange looks and laughter behind your back. I think that is slowly changing. And I do have a sense that since we're going into this corporatocracy period in American history, that private companies and corporations are going to have more and more control over this subject. And I see the aerospace companies as being where, if we could do Freedom of Information Act requests to private corporations, well, I know the first three that I target, but. You know, this is like what did Churchill say about Russia? It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle inside a mystery. Or it's the same with the UFO subject, and in a lesser way, the underground base scenario. The more you dig, the more confusing it gets, and the more, you know, just disinformation tends to pop up. And you know, I must applaud you in your ability to collate and coalesce all this information about these various mysterious places together in one place. I think it's a real good reference book for people who want at a glance to visit some of these places. And you do cover quite a few of them, which we're not unfortunately going to have time to cover in the show. We're going to have you back. But I do have some questions from our listeners, including one from one of our newest posters, is Blabby Boy. And boy, he's firing off. There's about a dozen questions here. I'm going to start with a few of them. Have you ever heard anything located around or under the Isle of Wight? And he's been there a few times, and he's reading a feature on it in a now-defunct UK UFO magazine. And he's wondering if you've ever heard of any sort of stories or any information about that area.
I actually haven't. I mean, you know, come from Ireland, the Isle of Wight, for people who don't know, is just off the south coast of England. Actually, not too far from where I used to live. Just as an aside, me and three of my friends, we had a trailer for 3 years in a little town called Brixham, which is not a million miles away from the Isle of Wight. But no, I've never heard that story at all, no.
Excluding the capital cities of Birmingham and Manchester, are there any other strange secret places hidden in other cities in the UK that are of interest? Now, you do cover Mendips. So do you want to talk about Mendips and possibly Bentwaters just briefly?
Yeah, I mean, the Bentwaters Woodbridge stories.
We will go to visit Bentwaters and lots of other places as we continue with Nick Redfern. You're in
the Paracast.
Ho, ho, ho.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TERRAGANIX.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Talk about my girlfriend again.
All three of them, yeah.
He's got seven at the same time. Chris O'Brien, he's a wild and wacky and woolly Chris O'Brien, man about town who learned in the Orient the incredible secret to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Women can see him. That's the problem. They run away. Seriously, we have Nick Redfern. The book is called Keep Out, and Chris had started a new thread of discussion. Chris?
Well, again, we do have other facilities in and around England. Is it called Mendips? Is that how you pronounce it?
Well,
is
one. Bentwaters and Woodbridge.
Yeah, and then in Mendips, too, in Wilshire.
Oh, No, you mean Rudlow Manor?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm getting them confused. But, well, let's talk about some of the other these other facilities in the UK.
All right, well, RAF Rudlow Manor, which is situated in the county of Wiltshire, which, interestingly enough, is where most of the crop circles appear in that same county every year. RAF Rudlow Manor has a long and deep history and linkage to UFOs. What's interesting about the base is the area itself. There's a city in the county of Wiltshire called Bath, and it's all built out of one particular type of stone that was quarried from the very area where Rudlow Manor now exists. So in other words, when the rock and the stone was quarried out, you had these massive underground caverns and tunnels, you know, where the rock was taken from to build the city of Bath. And in the 1940s, the British government recognized the significance of, you know, having all these tunnels and caverns. It would be a good place for weapon storage or for somewhere for the government to go in the event of a national emergency, and particularly more so in the 50s and 60s, you know, the height of the Cold War, while the rest of us are sort of frying above the surface, you know, the government has somewhere to hide out and survive, unfortunately. The entire location under RAF Rudlow Manor is this sort of rabbit's warren type situation of tunnels and caverns and caves. Since the 60s onwards, though, a lot of military people have come forward talking about classified UFO investigations having been undertaken deep below Rudlow. And again, you have these Hangar 18 type stories of dead aliens under the base and crashed UFOs and things like that. A number of files have surfaced under the terms of the Freedom of Information Act showing, you know, we can verify that personnel from the base were involved in UFO investigations. But, you know, the government story has always been, well, it's just at a low level and it was just a case of sending a few people out to interview witnesses. But, you know, we're not doing anything sort of super secret. But the retired military people, when they come forward, tell a different story. But I said the most significant thing is, you know, of all the places where these rumors are coming from, it's a base which has a very intriguing and very secret but verifiable underground aspect to it as well, going back to the 40s with these quarried out tunnels. Another one is the Bentworth Waters Woodbridge facility on the East Coast. This is where the famous Rendlesham Forest UFO landing case occurred in December 1980. You know, a lot of people focus upon the event itself, obviously, you know, which makes sense. But Larry Warren, who was the co-author with Peter Robbins of the book Left at Eastgate, Larry was one of the airmen based at Bentwaters at the time. He talked about, in the wake of the encounter Bentwaters in December 1980, about being taken to an underground part of the base, like a massive underground installation, where it seems from Larry's word there was like some sort of alien-human interaction going on. Now, when this took place, Larry was actually sort of rendered into like a, sounds like a drugged out state, you know, as if he'd been injected with something. So, you know, we have to wonder, are his memories fully as we perceive them, or had he been subject to some sort of weird mind control thing to sort of create the scenario that maybe somebody wanted him then to sort of spread, or is it a combination of the two? You know, I don't think there's any, well, there's no doubt in my mind that Larry had a real UFO experience. Was the underground thing kind of added to it to make it sound unbelievable? Was he really shown this? Was it a combination of the two? I think there's a lot of sort of mind games going on with respect to the underground aspects of the Rendlesham story, but the important thing is that it is an aspect to it. Now, just one other quick linkage to secret installations in Britain. The place in also in the county of Wiltshire where RAF Rudlow Manor is called Porton Down. Porton Down is like the British equivalent of Fort Detrick, where a lot of research is done into exotic viruses and biological warfare. And there's a story about personnel from Porton Down being sent to Rendlesham Forest a couple of days after the incident in hazmat suits and reportedly taking something out of the woods. And I tell this story in the book, you know, of the Porton Down link to another secret location. So there's a lot of weird stuff like this in Britain.
Questions from Blabby Boy. During researching, you know, these potential locations that are tied to the UFO subject, and most of them are underground, in his words, did you ever hit Pater by obtaining blueprints or planning submissions sourced via local councils or libraries or similar bodies? And he puts as an aside, I've always thought this to be a weakness for the establishment. Do we know of any blueprints, let's say, for underground facilities? Has this stuff ever been inadvertently revealed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for example, with the RAF Rudlow Manor situation in Wiltshire, England, a number of documents have surfaced through the Freedom of Information Act that actually for example, you know, there are like Cold War files telling people, you know, people who held positions of authority in government, you know, this is how you need to get into the base in the event of a national emergency. You know, you'll be brought to entrance point A or whatever, you know, and it talks about the different levels of the base and, you know, what would go on in different places. You know, in the event of a national emergency, like a nuclear strike by the Russians, this is where communications would be coordinated from. This is where government continuation would be carried out, et cetera, et cetera. So we definitely have, so even maps and drawings and schematics, that sort of thing, of Ludlow Manor. Even plans, for example, from the 60s, telling the local fire service, you know, in the event of an underground fire at the base, this is where you need to come to put the fire out. So we have a lot of stuff like that. And certain plans have also been released under the terms of the Freedom of Information Act about vaults at Wright-Patterson. Now, of course, you know, we don't have anything like, this would be great if we did, but we don't have anything like a, you know, a map saying alien bodies vault or anything like that. But we do have evidence of maps, schematics again, and drawings, etc., showing underground facilities at the base, which, you know, are verifiable.
He goes on to ask a rhetorical question here, and that is, can a location ever really be secret? I'm just thinking that once the locals get to hear of something, it then becomes an exercise in keeping the contents or work of the location as closed as possible, and not the if not the location itself. And Jacques Vallée, of course, would add a fairly famous quote of his, is, there's truth to these underground bases, who takes out the garbage?
Well, I mean, these are actually good points. You know, I mean, I think the best thing we can say about sort of secret installations is that the work that's undertaken there is secret, but by default, the places aren't secret. Rather, the places are off limits. So, you know, when you have off limits places undertaking secret research, by default, they are secret. Now, I think Jack's words certainly are more applicable to things like the Dulce base, where, you know, the existence is denied. So if, you know, there's a lot of weird activity going on in the area, that would give it away. I don't think we can apply that to Area 51 because the base clearly does exist. So somebody really is taking out the garbage, you know.
And then suing the government.
What's that?
I said, and burning the garbage and then getting sick and then suing the government and then having the government say, well, we're going to throw the case out because there's no base there. It doesn't exist.
No, exactly. This is the problem. You know, so in other words, we can prove the existence of these places.
Before we get into any more places, here's a place we got to go. We have Nick Redfern with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Ho, 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 ho. That's Chris's seven hoes.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355. 213-405-5355 or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning, e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to MySolarBackup.com for more information. That's MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
I'm not counting the number of hoes that he's talking about there, because we're getting into weird stuff. You're in the Paracast with Gene and Chris and Nick Redfern, author of Keep Out, and you were in the middle of an interesting discussion. Let's continue.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, nobody doubts the existence of many of these places. The big problem is, you know, that unless you're in the know, so to speak, there's just no way to access them. And with everything undertaken in deep secrecy, it's no wonder that, you know, we get as many truths as we do legends and stories and tales come out of them. You know, so I think in that respect, this is what makes it difficult to really get to the heart of the issue and why, you know, in the book I address all the different theories, because it would be, I'd basically be lying if I was to say there are aliens stored at Area 51. Yeah, I might sell, you know, 10,000 more books, but by doing so, I'd be cheating myself. You know, I've got to point out to people that the UFO stories could be a cover for military activity. And there could be as many mind games going on as there is legitimate leaks of data, you know. And I think we need to investigate these places. We need to study them, but we need to be grounded as well.
Bobby Boy has some more questions here. If you're interested, here's an interesting one: is there a worldwide top five list of secret regions that has changed over time as populations have migrated and expanded? i.e. places that might once have been an ideal location are no longer as viable due to encroaching populations. Is Australia or Africa or perhaps Antarctica the preferred locations at the moment? Any indications of some of these super remote areas on the planet having locations?
That's actually a good question. I mean, I think, you know, it's difficult to know. I mean, you know, if there are secret locations there and we don't know about them, that's because they're still secret. But I think, you know, certainly places like Pine Gap, you know, the geography and the sort of regional distribution of Australia, Pine Gap's never going to be a place that's going to be, you know, surrounded by cities or whatever. It's just not going to happen. And so, in other words, governments actually don't need to place their installations in, you know, remote fortresses, so to speak. I mean, you know, a lot of people think Area 51, you know, you look at the Nevada desert, people think Area 51 is buried in some remote part of the Nevada desert. It actually isn't. It's only 90 miles from downtown Las Vegas. You know, you leave Las Vegas and put your foot down hard on the accelerator. In theory, if you weren't stopped, you could be there within an hour. You know, 90 miles is no distance. But the problem is you can only get within like 15 miles of the base before you start seeing security signs, and then the security goon squads will stop you and, you know, you face arrest, etc. So in other words, bases don't need to be situated 1,000 miles in the middle of a desert. You know, like with Area 51, they can be 90 miles from Vegas, and you still have no idea what's going on there.
That's a good answer for that. Here's another one. I'm guessing the book only covers a small list of locations worldwide. So does your research have an indicative number of possible known unknown locations?
Well, you know, I mean, I tried to, you know, cover the entire planet. I mean, obviously there's stuff like, I mean, Area 51, Hangar 18, Dulce, you know, they're U.S. I mean, Bentwaters, London Underground, Rudlow Manor, that's England, Pine Gaps, Australia. I actually talk even about sort of the Russian Area 51 or several so-called Russian Area 51s, if you like, and even the rumors about some sort of classified military facility on the far side of the moon, kind of, as some people have suggested, like a clandestine space program, you know, that's running alongside but not with NASA.
You know what, maybe let's look at that for a moment, the so-called alleged secret space program. I mean, we've had a couple of guests who come on the PowerCast from time to time, and they say, hey, what, this public space program is just window dressing. While we've been sort of winding it down or trying to funnel it off into private industry and maybe just sending space probes out there or sending out telescopes to look for ET 400 or 500 light years away, we've had that secret space program going on all this time. We have bases on the moon, whatever. Mm-hmm. What's the story? What is the evidence for it?
Well, you know, I mean, this is, you know, this sort of two-pronged approach, you know, the idea that there's the recognized space program of NASA, which is now, I don't think anybody doubts, in decline. You know, when you've got a kind of, ask the Russians if you can send an astronaut up on one of their craft, it's, you know, it's getting pretty bleak. But, you know, then does that mean, oh, we're just winding it down, period? Or is there something sort of super secret going on, you know, behind the scenes? That's the big question. Now, what we do know for certain is that back in the late 50s, the U.S. Army initiated a very ambitious program called Project Horizon. The idea was to have some sort of almost like a North Pole or South Pole outpost on the moon by 1965. And the plan was that this would be like a relatively rudimentary thing, you know, like the equivalent of maybe 7 or 8 20-foot diameter igloos that would be connected by tunnels or cylinders or whatever. And that over time it would be added to and added to, where sort of 20 years down the line, it would be a fairly sophisticated installation. And the Project Horizon files have now been declassified through the Freedom of Information Act. You can find them online, and they run to hundreds of pages and very extensive documents that talk about how, you know, water would be obtained and oxygen would be circulated. You know, so it goes into the very deep of the technological aspects of achieving a secret base on the moon and maintaining it and running it and adding to its construction. Now, what's interesting is that the construction of the base on the part of the military, which was going to be done totally outside of NASA, began by 1965. That was the plan, to have the first part of it up and running. Now, ostensibly, we're told that the program was cancelled for two reasons. One, budgets, and the other, technical capabilities or lack of capabilities back in the early to mid-60s. Now, everybody knows, you know, the first moon landing occurred in July 1969. But back in 65, which was the year when the military was planning to have this base up and running, we have the testimony of a man named Carl Wolf. Carl Wolf has gone on record. He does have a verifiable military background, stating that in 65, he was exposed to a story while working on a NASA-related program during the course of his Air Force employment, where he was told that NASA had photographed on the far side of the moon in 65 some sort of what looked like a structured facility. NASA had no idea who built it or what it was. And, of course, the first tendency is to think, well, it's got to be aliens because, you know, Armstrong and Aldrin hadn't even landed on the moon yet. This was 4 years later. And maybe it is, maybe there is something there. Maybe it is an alien installation. But on the other hand, when we find in this very year, 65, the military was planning to get some sort of, you know, small rudimentary base on the moon and then add to it, you know, time-wise, it fits in with what the Project Horizon reports talk about. So, you know, could we actually be seeing evidence of some sort of clandestine space program, you know, in the testimony of Carl Wolf and the Project Horizon files, you know, I don't rule that out. And I think, you know, if you look at all the work that NASA has done over the years, to just kind of, you know, throw it out the window and saying, you know, no more astronauts, no more space shuttle, no more nothing, basically, you know, that kind of just flies in the face of everything. And but what's interesting about the Project Horizon report is that the reason for the construction of the base had less to do with advancing, you know, astronomical scientific revelations and more to do with militarizing space, which sadly is inevitable, you know, and not surprising at all. So it wouldn't surprise me again if there is a secret space program, but if there is, I would suspect a fair percentage of it is based around militarizing space and, you know, and the strengthening the sort of the military capabilities rather than, you know, just a pure scientific approach.
Well, we also have the intriguing revelation that our British hacker, Gary McKinnon, came up with about 155 off-planet naval officers, if memory serves me correct. What do you think about that? I mean, is that a smoking gun piece of data?
Yeah, I mean, McKinnon's story is an interesting one. I mean, Gary McKinnon, you know, you can look at, I mean, McKinnon's actions, you know, to me were stupid, and he landed himself in the inevitable position that he would have landed himself in. You know, it's like with me, when I do research, you know, I interview people and I go after Freedom of Information Act files and things like that.
And I tell you what, we have to look for this piece of information, very, very critical importance. We have Nick Redfern. The book is called Keep Out. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Did you ever think you'd be where you are, a decade into the 21st century? Record foreclosure rates for homes, if not yours, your neighbors. Thankful for the unemployment check since you were laid off. And placing your child's name on the angel tree in hopes of a Christmas gift, along with thousands of other Americans. Did you ever think your future would feel this out of control? The fact is, in all this craziness, there's only one thing you can control. Your greatest dependency, your food supply. Make 2012 the year you take control by getting prepared. eFoods Direct introduces the best way to build your food supply in the 21st century. Get a 21-day supply of food free with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Take back control in 2012. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast with Nick Redfern. The book is called Keep Out.
The whole issue, you know, McKinnon is an interesting one. I mean, yes, he uncovered some intriguing material. He talked about, for example, reading files on what are described as non-terrestrial officers, which, you know, you can't get more to the point if that's suggesting sort of like an off-planet fleet almost, if you like, of personnel. You know, it's difficult to reconcile it in any other way. You know, particularly the fact that he hacked NASA, you know, and uncovered that material. The government, for the most part, hasn't commented on, you know, what these documents were or what that title or term means. They focus more on trying to prosecute McKinnon. Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, have different views on McKinnon. You know, some people view him as like a valiant crusader. Other people view him as an idiot who was sort of, you know, it was his own fault and inevitable that he would land himself in the position that he now finds himself. You know, I mean, I don't encourage anyone, and never would, to sort of hack the Pentagon, because you're just asking for trouble. And for the most part, you're not going to find anything. So the idea that you won't get caught, won't get found out, and won't get either jailed or attempted to be jailed in the process is ridiculous. You know, I actually don't think it sort of helps our cause. You know, it might sound great for some sort of techno-conspiracy thriller, but running around hacking the Pentagon, all that's going to do is get you landed in jail and hardly any information in the process. And I think for that reason, that's why, you know, McKinnon, within the UFO field, you know, he attracts champions and people who just think he's an idiot. For example, you know, you can find whole websites that sort of champion McKinnon's actions. Paul Kimball, a good friend of mine in Canada who runs Red Star Films and made a number of UFO films, Paul has no sympathy for McKinnon at all. And I think somebody like McKinnon attracts that kind of, you know, totally black and white scenario where one person takes this view and one takes another. But regardless of how we view McKinnon, there's absolutely, you know, the one thing we cannot take away from is that while looking for material on UFOs and, you know, NASA's involvement in such issues, he came across this list that mentioned these so-called non-terrestrial officers. And this is an area that, while, as I said, what's intriguing is that while the government has been quite vocal on its attempts to try and get McKinnon brought over from the UK to be prosecuted and jailed in the US, there's been no talk at all about what this term non-terrestrial officers means. You know, the emphasis has been on the fact that he hacked, not on the material that he said he found.
Chris, any more questions left?
Yeah, Angelo, of course, our healthily skeptical moderator, has an interesting question that's news to me. And he goes, I don't think I've ever heard Nick talk about his experience on Penn & Teller's show. I'd like to hear his thoughts on that. You were on Penn & Teller?
Yeah, this is actually nothing to do with the UFOs. It was about, probably six, seven, maybe 8 years ago now, I forget now, something like that. But it was certainly mid-2000s. It was actually a ghost hunting show. What happened was I got a call asking if I could, you know, appear on, if I was willing to appear on the show and, you know, go on a ghost hunting exercise. So we went out to a town in East Texas called Jefferson. Jefferson's an old town, a lot of history to it and a lot of haunted hotels and buildings and things like that. So we went out there and did like a nighttime ghost hunt, you know, and stalked out some of these haunted rooms. And I was there with a couple of other ghost hunters, you know, who had all this sort of equipment for checking temperatures and things like that. You know, I by my own admission, I'm not a ghost hunter. You know, I'm not really qualified in those areas other than the fact that I'm interested in the paranormal. So I kind of went along more as an observer. And we did the investigation. You know, we sort of checked out the haunted houses and interviewed different people and stuff like that. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, with the Penn and Teller show, you know, I never got to meet Penn and Teller. What happens is, you know, the program's filmed, the footage is obtained, and then it's taken back to the studio, and then Penn and Teller watch it and offer their comments over the top later on. You know, you don't...
You can't interact with them. That kind of doesn't sound very hopeful.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, some documentaries, you know, if you're on a live TV show, you're there with the host right then. But you watch something like UFO Hunters, which is like reality driven, you know, the three guys are there interviewing the people. Or if it's something like Ancient Aliens, you know, it's Head and Shoulders interviews and then like a voiceover. Penn and Teller show is a bit different because, you know, you get the footage, is the people are interviewed, and then Penn and Teller sit down and watch it and offer their views later. So for me, I think I would have enjoyed it more had I had the chance to sort of sit down. We could have really got a heated debate going, you know, between the three of us. That would have been cool TV. But, you know, as I said, the filming with me was done in East Texas, and the filming with Penn and Teller was done wherever, you know, their respective homes are or studios or whatever. So, you know, you have no sort of direct interaction with them.
I haven't watched the show, so I don't know.
Actually, I've never watched the show because I don't have the channel. I haven't even watched the one I'm on because I don't have the channel on our TV that it's broadcast on. So.
There's other questions, but he's already answered them, basically. So that was kind of the last question.
Right. Okay, that was a fascinating bunch of questions there. And I think the best thing we could ask in the remaining couple of minutes is, Nick Redfern, if you had to do the book over again, are there other areas you could have added or maybe gotten the book larger?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things is that, you know, people say to me, could you make the book bigger? Well, yeah, I could, but contractually I'm limited to like 65,000 words. I contractually cannot make the books for New Page longer than that. But, you know, that's how it works, you know. But, yeah, there are other places I could have put in. Some of the stories, you know, certainly aren't chapter length. You know, I've heard stories where somebody told me, for example, that they were aware of an alien body supposedly stored at Fort Detrick in Maryland, but that's literally all they knew, you know. So there's a lot of stories where I have fragments of information that would, you know, make an interesting little couple of paragraphs. So, you know, there's always scope and range to add things here and there. But I think, you know, what I tried to do with the book was cover the most significant ones, most significant installations that I could come across with a UFO link. You know, so in that sense, I'm sort of happy with the book, you know, in terms of what I covered. But, you know, it's like a band, you know, releasing its latest album. They could always add one little bit more, a guitar or whatever, you know. I think every author thinks that there's something they'd like to add afterwards. So.
What do you think our listeners should take away from what you did with this book?
Well, I would hope that the one thing more than anything else I would hope they would take away from the book is a realization that, you know, literally all around, not just the U.S., but the world, there are literally dozens and dozens of secret facilities that when we dig into them, we find intriguing stories of links to UFOs. And they seem to be linked to alien bodies, crashed UFOs, back engineering and things like this. You know, they're not just sort of focusing around UFO sightings, and that's the interesting thing. And I think also take away the fact that, you know, profound secrets, wherever they might lead, are being hidden from us. And in some cases, ironically, buried just under our noses. You know, as I said, like with Area 51 just being 90 miles away from Vegas. You know, so I think I would hope people sort of realize that, you know, as I said, Area 51 isn't the be-all and end-all of secret installations, that when you go looking for them, you can find them here, there, and everywhere.
And we can keep looking. So, Nick Redfern, tell our listeners where they can find more of the things that you do and what you're up to in the future.
Okay. Well, they can find more at nickredfernsbooks.blogspot.com. And as far as the future is concerned, I've got a book out in June, again through New Page Books, which is called The Pyramids and the Pentagon. And it's basically a study of what you might call Indiana Jones-type characters in the government. It deals, for example, with government investigations of everything from Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and also a lot of research and secret files generated on ancient astronaut authors and researchers claiming that the pyramids were built by levitation. The government opened weird files, or should I say files on weird subjects relative to all this.
I'll tell you, that's got to be weird, got to be strange. We look forward to the new book. Chris O'Brien, where can we find more of your stuff?
Well, you can find me lurking about, helping moderate forum.theparacast.com. And as promised, we'll get the new OurStrangePlanet.com site up. And it's still there. It's chock full of good stuff. So go visit.
We will. If you have a comment or question about the show, write us news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. Nick Redfern, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Cool, Nick. Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.